You are now listening to Justice Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello everyone, welcome to Justice Lit. We have another exciting episode on our way. The weather was super beautiful today this morning when I woke up, and on my way to school it was just shining bright. But just literally a minute ago, everything changed, and it's just the whole air is filled with fog. I'm not sure what's going on, but I hope it doesn't rain because I wore my brand new shoes and I do not want to get them wet. And so let's pray it doesn't rain. The sky is foggy, and so that was a cool thing that just happened recently. But other than that, I hope everyone is doing well. Just one quick announcement to make. The Shakespeare conference that I told you guys about last week was supposed to happen yesterday, but it did not because of the protests that are going on campus here at UBC. And so for those of you guys, I guess, who couldn't make it yesterday, luckily for you, it didn't happen yesterday. It's going to happen next Tuesday. Same time, at the IKB Dodson Room from 4 to 6, but I will be presenting at around 5:30, and that is next week, Tuesday, so April 1st. So just to get that out of the way. And yeah, that's basically it. We are coming to the end of our semester 2. I hope everyone is doing well and grinding with their studies. We will discuss some more sonnets from Shakespeare today, and again I'll play some songs from Joel Wood because I enjoy his music. But before the sonnets, I think we'll play the songs first, and so we'll be right back after the PSAs, ads, and show promos, and then I'll just tell you guys what's up. We'll be right back.
We all know that the word jazz means many different things to many different people, so check out the real deal on The Jazz Show at CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for live streaming. Yours truly, Gavin Walker, is your host, and I guarantee the straight goods of 3 hours of jazz at its finest. The jazz feature that focuses on a concept, an album, or an individual artist will be heard at the beginning of the show every Monday night right at 9 p.m. after our opening theme and announcement. So come on by and give your ears a musical workout, 9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
Listen to Breakfast with the Browns every Monday morning.
From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Something that just offers you the place, the chance to stay in a mood.
Breakfast with the Browns.
The best in ambient, downtempo, electronic, ASMR, pop loungecore music. Totally Alpha Wave.
on CITR 101.9 FM.
Thus the most ordinary movement in the world may agitate 1,000 odd disconnected fragments, now bright, now dim, hanging and bobbing and dipping and flaunting.
So, beauty remains in the impossibilities of the body.
You know that, don't you?
Kalalalalam is an urban indigenous health and wellness cooperative in Vancouver's downtown east side. Taking a decolonized approach to healthcare, Kalalalalam aims to partner indigenous elders with physicians and allied health professionals to provide culturally informed physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care to our community members. You can join us in helping to decolonize healthcare and supporting members of the downtown east side by sharing our story or providing single, monthly, or annual donations. Head over to our website, kalalalalam.ca, or Instagram at kilalalelum to learn more or donate. If you or someone you know has experienced sexual assault, you are not alone. Stand Informed Legal Advice Services is a new program offered by Community Legal Assistance Society that provides free legal advice to anyone who lives in BC and has experienced sexual assault in this province. Stand Informed offers up to 3 hours of free, confidential legal advice, regardless of age, gender, income, whether the assault has been reported to the police, or if you are uncertain that what you experienced is sexual assault. To access Stand Informed services, call 604-673-3143 or email standinformed@clasbc.net.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
And welcome back to Jess is Lit. Those were some ads, show promos, and PSAs. Before we get into the music, I just want to finish off the second sonnet of Shakespeare, because last episode we didn't really have time to analyze the poem itself. I did read out the sonnet for you guys, but I think I should do that again just to clear up our minds a little bit before we go into analysis. And so I'll just finish off the analysis of Sonnet 2, and then I'll play you guys some songs. And so here's Sonnet 2. When 40 winters shall besiege thy brow and dig deep trenches in thy beauty's field, thy youth's proud livery, so gazed on now, will be a tattered weed of small worth held. Then being asked where all thy beauty lies, where all the treasure of thy lusty days, to say within thine own deep sunken eyes, where in all eating shame and thriftless praise, how much more praise deserved thy beauty's use, if thou couldst answer, this fair child of mine, shall sum my count and make my old excuse, proving his beauty by succession thine. This were to be new made when thou art old, and see thy blood warm when thou feel'st it cold. That was Sonnet 2 of Shakespeare. And again, this poem explores the themes of, you know, aging, beauty, and just the legacy of a human. Again, he addresses a young man and basically warns him that time will be inevitably stripped away from his youthful beauty. As you can see in the opening lines, where he says, 40 winters shall besiege thy brow, It's a metaphor here, and it represents the passage of time. And the word besiege, I think, invokes the image of a relentless attack, and I think it suggests that it suggests the unavoidableness of age and leaving a wrinkle on the young man's face as a trait, as a mark of age. And I think the line, "Dig deep trenches in thy beauty's field," is also very similar to that, kind of comparing the wrinkles to trenches in a battlefield. And that also kind of reinforces the idea that aging will take its toll on the physical appearance of a person. You also see a little bit of lamenting here when the line, "Thy youth's proud livery so gazed on now will be a tattered weed of small worth held." Now, this means that the young man's beauty, which is currently young, fruitful, and admired, it will eventually fade and will become insignificant. Like a worn-out garment or a useless weed. And for me, this poem, in a sense, poses a question, a rhetorical question, when it says, "Then being asked where all thy beauty lies, where all the treasure of thy lusty days." And this can imply that in old age, the youth will struggle to explain what became of his former attractiveness and vitality. So it's a deep poem, goes really deep. Now, when you read this a little more and start to think about this more, you sort of wonder what Shakespeare might have wanted us to feel or think after reading all these sonnets. And in this one in particular, I think Shakespeare suggested that just merely remembering one's past beauty is a quote-unquote all, is an all-eating shame and thriftless praise. And so basically it means that it's both shameful and wasteful to let one's beauty vanish without passing it on. Again, we are talking about the reproduction of humanity. And where it goes, "This fair child of mine shall sum my count and make my old excuse." Now, this is also being stated that the child will carry on the legacy of beauty, essentially allowing the man to remain present in the world even after he is gone, or even after his youth has faded. So that's also pretty interesting. The final couplet, where he says, "This were to be new made when thou art old, and see thy blood warm when thou feelest it cold," is also very interesting. And I think it kind of reinforces the central argument of the poem, the central message of the poem. And it basically, I think, says that through the offspring you create, you would metaphorically be renewed in old age. And to see the legacy that you put forth upon yourself be continued down throughout your lineage is what is being stressed here. And yeah, I think that's all for this one. It really urges the importance of procreation. I guess the war imagery, besiege and trenches and all that, are seen to be here, and it's obviously a Shakespearean sonnet structure, 14 lines of iambic pentameter if we were to talk about form, with three quatrains and a final rhyming couplet. So all that's basically all Shakespearean sonnet forms. And so a lot of the sonnets that he wrote is in a sense both a warning and an encouragement, I think. And so it's very interesting. But that was Sonnet 2. And then we will talk about Sonnet 3 after the songs I have chosen to play for you guys. Again, we are bringing back Joel Wood. I have several songs for you guys, and so I will play these in a row. It's all from the album. It's all from the album Sing, Pray, Love. And so it kind of matches up with the sonnets we've been reading. So that's interesting. That was unintentional, but we'll see how it goes. The first song is called The Proposal. The second song I will play after that is called Lali LeBlanc Song featuring Tonya Johal. And then I'll come back after these two songs. Here we go.
Ah.
Welcome back. That was the two songs, The Proposal featuring Tony Joe Hall and Lali LeBlanc song also featuring Tony Joe Hall. We are moving into the third, fourth, and five. I have five songs for you guys today in total. And so the last three will be Prayers for the People featuring Tony Joe Hall. After that would be Tonya Joe Hall's song featuring Tonya Joe Hall. They're all Tonya Joe Halls today. And the last song is called Wopila featuring Tonya Joe Hall. So we'll be right back after these three.
We are here. kashila pila maya yalo.
Welcome back. You just listened to Prayers for the People featuring Tona Johal, Tona Johal Song featuring Tona Johal, and Wopila featuring Tona Johal. We're now going to head into more sonnets from Shakespeare. I think we'll have time to get through two more sonnets, and so without further ado, we'll get stuff going. Sonnet 2 we went over, so now we're starting Sonnet 3, and so here we go. Look in thy glass and tell the face thou viewest. Now is the time that face should form another, whose fresh repair if now thou not renewest, thou dost beguile the world and bless some mother. For where is she so fair whose unyeared womb disdains the tillage of thy husbandry? Or who is he so fond will be the tomb of his self-love to stop posterity? Thou art thy mother's glass, and she in thee calls back the lovely April of her prime. So thou, though windows of thine age shall see, despite of wrinkles, this thy golden time. But if thou live remembered not to be, die single, and thine images die with thee. That was Sonnet 3 from William Shakespeare. And again, the notion or the emphasis of procreation is evident. And I think that through Sonnets 1 to 17, we're going to see a lot of emphasis on the importance of procreation. And from Sonnets 1 to 17, it'll be where Shakespeare urges a young man to marry and have children to preserve his beauty, his legacy, and his just basically his blood. And so the importance of procreation is seen here. And a lot of imagery and metaphors For example, look in thy glass. The poem begins with an imperative urging the young man to look in the mirror and recognize his duty to reproduce. And also the line where it says, now is the time that face should form another. And so this one implies that youth is temporary, and now is the ideal time to create another version of yourself, of himself, a child. And there's a bit of agricultural metaphors where he says, whose fresh repair is now thou not renewest, suggesting that youth must be replenished like crops in a field. And the quote here, uneared womb and tillage of thy husbandry. There's a little bit of a comparison here of procreation to farming. And the man is like a farmer who must cultivate the land. And so the land that he must cultivate, it could be seen as the woman's womb to ensure a future harvest of children. So it's a metaphorical wordplay there, which I really enjoy and I like. There's also metaphors that involve self-love versus selfishness, where he says, who is he so fond will be the tomb of his self-love. Now this, in a sense, implies that a person who refuses to have children is entombing himself in his vanity and is letting his lineage die. And a metaphor dealing with some reflection and legacy here, when he says, thou art thy mother's glass. And this kind of portrays the man as a mirror of his mother's beauty, just as his child would reflect on his, would reflect his own beauty and legacy as well. And the line where it says, despite of wrinkles, this thy golden time. So basically, even when aged, the person can look at his child and see his youth preserved, which is very interesting and cool. And of course, the final couplet, in a sense, brings out a warning where it says, but if thou live remembered not to be, die single and thine images dies with thee. So if you translate it to modern English, it says that if you live a life, it's an ultimatum. If the young man refuses to be remembered through offspring, his beauty and legacy will also vanish upon his death. And so would you do that, or would you procreate and continue on your legacy and your lineage? It's a deep question, deep sonnet. And just reading these sonnets, I guess you could get a sense of how Shakespeare and the people of his time emphasized very much on the importance of reproduction. And during the Renaissance period, the ideology of lineage and reproduction and the immortality through reproduction was very emphasized. And you know what? I think that it's very lacking in the modern age right now as well. There's a lot of countries that are just very, very lacking the reproduction of children and just marriage in general. And so I think this is the beauty of Shakespeare and a lot of these great poets, is that it not only relates to the world that they lived in, but it also relates heavily on the world we live in right now as well. And so I think that's one of the biggest beauties of Shakespeare and his poems and plays. Moving on to Sonnet 4, I'll give this one a read. Unthrifty loveliness, why dost thou spend upon thyself thy beauty's legacy? Nature's bequest gives nothing but doth lend, and being frank, she lends to those who are free. Then, beauteous Nigard, why dost thou abuse the bontis largus given thee to give? Profitless unsurer, why dost thou use so great a sum of sums yet canst not live? For, having traffic with thyself alone, thou of thyself thy sweet self dost deceive. Then how, when nature calls thee to be gone, what acceptable audit canst thou leave? Thy unused beauty must be tombed with thee, which used live the executor to be. Now, this poem kind of criticizes a beautiful young person for being selfish with their beauty by not passing it on, of course, the emphasis of procreation. And so we could see here that Shakespeare views beauty as a gift, and that the gift of beauty should be shared and continued, not wasted through self-indulgence. We're going to try and analyze this by quatrains this time. The first quatrains of line 1 to 4, the speaker calls the addressee unthrifty loveliness. There's a bit of a juxtaposition there, meaning wasteful beauty. Beauty is a legacy, but instead of passing it on, the subject hoards it. And nature not only lends beauty, but gives it permanently. Those who are generous with it by reproducing fulfill nature's intent. Now, with the second quatrain, lines 5 to 8, here the subject is called a beauteous niggard, a beautiful miser, meaning they are stingy with their beauty. Again, a person who is obviously beautiful physically, but does not have the willful desire to continue on the beauty that one acquires, therefore being called stingy with their beauty. And there's also a metaphor of usury, which is lending money at interest, that's introduced, and that and implies that beauty is a wealth meant to be invested, but not hoarded. The person is also compared to a profitless unsurer, someone who lends but gains nothing in return. So that's interesting. The third quatrain here, lines 9 to 12, the person is engaging in traffic with thyself alone. And so this means that they selfishly admire themselves instead of sharing their beauty. Traffic with thyself alone. And they are deceiving themselves by thinking that their beauty can last without being passed on. And here it says, when they die, nature will call thee to be gone, quote unquote, and they will have no legacy. The final couplet of lines 13 to 14, here it says, thy unused beauty must be tombed with thee. So it must be tombed with thee. If they don't reproduce, their beauty will die and die with them. So their beauty will be tombed together inside their tomb with you. And if it were used, it would have been executor to continue it. Yes. So a very, again, an emphasis on procreation. But here we kind of see that Shakespeare adds in another slight element of a person who is just not doing that, and being selfish and stingy with their own beauty. Now, we see a lot of personification here. Nature is depicted as a lender who expects repayment, and beauty is a wealth that should be spent wisely. And some metaphors to note, beauty being compared to money and inheritance, and the subject is a miser refusing to spend their beauty. And a lot of wordplay and contrast. For example, profitless, unsure, and beauteous niggard. And someone who should gain by lending. And someone rich in beauty, but just very poor in generosity. And so, again, overall, Shakespeare, with all the sonnets we have read so far, and I believe up to 17, he will argue that beauty is just not meant to be selfishly enjoyed, but is meant to be passed down through children. And if you hoard the beauty, you will die. And your beauty will also die with you. And one of the biggest important duties that a man has in through Shakespeare, in Shakespeare's view, is by reproducing. And so that's what he emphasizes. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our show already. I did have one more sonnet to go over, Sonnet 5, but we didn't have time, so we'll just leave it at that. Next episode, we'll go over some more sonnets, and who knows, I might just put in some more new music. But overall, it was fun. I hope you guys did too, and I will see you guys again next week. It doesn't seem like it's raining, so I'm glad that's happening. But have a good rest of your week, guys. I hope everything goes well with school and with whatever you guys are doing. And I will see you guys again next week with another episode. Thank you all. Bye-bye.